Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's first edition of Cow Daily. Before we start, just a bit of, I don't know what you would call it, husbandry. Basically, what we're doing is every day from now, we're going to start at 12 o'clock noon for the daily show. Obviously, Cow Weekly will stay at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night with Alice Wolfe and myself. Apologies for starting slightly late today, but there's no other way around it. I really needed a poo. I've grafted and researched this all morning and I'd just forgotten. So we're a little bit late. Not the greatest on day one, but rather that than coiling one off in the middle of the show. Today, we're talking about the Brazilian election result. We're also going to talk about the terror attack at Dover, which is exactly what it was. But yeah, we'll go a bit deeper in a bit. As usual, let me know that you're here. And also, if you would like to share the stream wherever you're watching from, that's fantastic. Ideally, would like you to watch it from YouTube. That's youtube.com/cowdaily. youtube.com/cowdaily. Reason being is we're almost halfway to getting the channel monetized. Really like to do it before the turn of the year, if possible. So if you just could watch, all of the things there, that would be absolutely tremendous and massively helpful. So let's get on with the show. We'll see who's arrived. Joanne's in. Nice to see you, mate. All the best. If you could let everybody else let we know you're in, that would be great. I think best thing to do is start with Brazil. Obviously, this has occurred. It's an ongoing thing. But before we do start, a little bit of background and whatnot. Brazil. As you can see, the election result is here on the screen at 99.99% declared. Lula won with 50.9% of the vote. Bolsonaro, 49.1%. Obviously, very close. We've seen problems that can arise from very, well, elections that are referendums that aren't even as close as that. So just to go around the doors a bit, here's Keir Starmer. Congratulations to Lula official on the great news of his election as president of Brazil. This win must also be the start of a new era of global cooperation and action in the fight against climate change. Owen Jones has replied, if Lula was a member of the Labour Party, you'd have kicked him out. For me, there's a couple of things that are wrong with that picture. Firstly, Owen Jones is quite right. If Lula was a member of the Labour Party, Starmer would have kicked him out. Secondly, you know as well as I do, when Owen Jones and the election in the UK collide, he will tell you to vote for that party. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever he's going to tell you to vote Labour. He can whinge all he wants about all of this. When it comes to election time, he's going to do that. I can't see any possibility for him to do anything but that. And if you want to tell us different, please do and tell us why. And then we'll start comparing evidence and we'll talk about it for 20 minutes. And the time on a tradition of Black Brian Clough will show that I'm right. Biden, we'll come further on to him in a bit. I send my congratulations to Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on his election to be the next president of Brazil following free, fair, and credible elections. Now, watch out for that later. I look forward to working together to continue the cooperation between our two countries in the months and years ahead. How wonderful, Joe. But we'll be looking at some history of the Democratic Party in Brazil later. So it says here, the corrupt US-backed Brazilian judge Sergio Moro, who oversaw the coups and imprisoned Lula in the bogus Lava Jato operation, was rewarded by Bolsonaro by becoming Minister of Justice. Just a little aside as well. Just bear with me. Little aside here. This is from AP. This is from 2019, March the 19th, to be precise. Brazil's far-right president visits CIA on friendly US tour. So he took Sergio Moro with him to meet the CIA in 2019, Bolsonaro. Just a little bit of background. We'll go on. Here's a picture of Bolsonaro with Steve Bannon. Now, people who've been watching or listening for a while, quite recently, in fact, will know of the stuff that we're talking about, Bannon, about the movement, which is the name of like the movement of far-right groups and individuals around Europe and the wider world that Bannon has a lot of sway and control about. So this was what Bannon said. I believe this was on some kind of live stream as the results in Brazil were coming in. Interesting, your thoughts.
Legislators, we need state courts. We need.
By the way, I don't care all the media matters, all the left wing media that watches this. Let me repeat this: the only way Democrats win is if they cheat, and we're stopping the cheating. Okay, yeah. And we don't care how you wet yourself, because we've got tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of patriots are now not just getting out the vote, but are becoming part of the election certification process. And people should, the left should understand, this is not stopping. This is just phase one of the Patriots' involvement in the election certification process. We're not going to allow what happened in Brazil. We're not going to allow what happened in 2020.
So as we can see there, what Bannon's referring to is clearly alluding to the contested election result when Trump lost. Obviously demonstrated and proven that it wasn't, but that didn't stop Bannon and his supporters from claiming it was. Vice recently did a short documentary on what Bannon's referring to there, which is that they're placing their people within election certification boards and just people who run elections in each state. There's a guy in particular in the Vice documentary, Cowboy Hat, The Full Works, and he's just straight up refusing to certify the election. And he was saying, we've got our people, and that's one of the things we've decided to do, to sign up to work on these elections. So it will be interesting to see at the next United States election who stands, for one. It'd be interesting to see if Trump does try and stand in any capacity and what Bannon's involvement in the wider election would be. It doesn't look great. None of it looks great. And I mean, I think when we come on to talk about the terror attack in Dover later on, we'll see how these fascists, because that's what they are shaping the popular narrative and forcing what would ordinarily be, let's say, regular people into complete and utter atrocity. I mean, you look at what happened to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House in the United States, husband. Somebody turned up and smashed him to bits with a hammer. This is a person who used to be a Green Party supporter in America, who's then went on into the depths of the QAnon conspiracy theorists and has come out the other side, smashing an 82-year-old man all over, fracturing his skull with a hammer. We look at what's happening in Dover. Crazy. Petrol bomb attack on a center which has refugees in it. But we'll save that later in the show. So that's what Bannon said. But Bannon also went on and said this.
They're going to respond. But
he cannot concede. Impossible.
Yeah. Well, what are the fulminations from the interconnected globalist cohort between media and you think the Biden State Department's not going to be fucking put? Sorry, excuse my French. Putting the screws to the false narratives.
Screw Biden. Screw the State Department. Screw the CIA. Fuck them.
Now you're speaking my language.
So, I mean, Bannon, for those who don't know, since we recorded and did a bit on him last week or the week before, he has been given a four-month prison sentence for refusing to testify at the hearings on January the 6th, the insurrection in the United States. He's appealing it, and that's why he's still free. So how many people do you think out there can get away with saying, fuck the CIA, fuck this, fuck that, fuck the third? Interesting. He mentioned that Bolsonaro can't concede. And so at the time of recording, this is from Business World, just come out, Brazilian leftist leader Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva narrowly defeated President Jair Bolsonaro in a runoff election. But the far-right incumbent did not concede defeat on Sunday night, and at the time of recording on Monday morning still hadn't, raising concerns that he might contest the result. Now, I'd be very surprised indeed, as somebody who's observed this, whether Bolsonaro doesn't contest the result. Now, what that could mean is blood on the streets, essentially. And we did like a preview of this a few weeks ago when the first round of this happened and it went off to a runoff as it has. Obviously, 50.8% versus 49.2% is really close. What that breaks down to, though, in Brazil, which is a large country, is about 2 million people. So Lula was about 2 million people ahead. Something to bear in mind. Further stuff, upon the Brazil, let us see. Now, repetition is something that seems to like just pickle people's heads. Get Brexit done, for example. I mean, obviously it's far from done, but it was the Christmas Eve where they agreed to pull out and all of that. That was the George W. Bush mission accomplished moment. Nothing's been done. So that's one example. Links to Bannon as well, strangely enough. But what we'll see is the accusation, accuse the other side of that which you are guilty. And that's a quote from Joseph Goebbels, who was the Nazi propaganda minister, administrator it is here. I'm going to suggest we're going to see that. I'd be surprised if Bolsonaro concedes. If he does concede, I'd be very surprised if it was anything other than a play to buy some time. I mean, it seems to me like the Bannon movement is getting their ducks in a row for a big move towards power. I mean, they've just installed or been part of installing Meloni in Italy. They've got Orban and others on side also. If you want to know more about that, just go and look at previous shows. It's not great. None of it is great. And I can't see how at any point it's going to get any better, because there's a huge movement in Brazil that's behind Lula. I'd be very surprised if they're just going to shut up. And they seem to be well primed for manipulation, because obviously they're already supporting this fucking cock. So, more. The book here, it's called The 48 Laws of Power. And I'm going to do some like specific videos on not just the 48 Laws of Power as a whole, but also on sections within it, because sometimes it can be quite challenging to understand why they do certain things. Biden's statement earlier, that was interesting. Starmer's, that was interesting. The center, which is what they are, well, center right, are not in support of Lula. So why would they appear to be in support of him? Now, very deep topic to go into, which we'll touch on deeper, as I say, in later videos. I just want to introduce the 48 Laws of Power as a book. There's actually a copy of it over there behind us, as you can see here. We'll start whipping it out and reading bits out and talking about how it applies to what's actually going on. It's basically a Machiavellian handbook. It's very interesting. It's also banned in certain state prison systems in the United States because it was causing havoc between the gangs. So here's your man. It's Halloween. Here's his costume. Steve Bannon, human garbage costume includes bigotry, race baiting, misogyny, lies, extremism, and syphilis, by the looks of it. Right, so anyway, the Steve Bannon, the only way Democrats win is if they cheat. We're not going to allow what happened in Brazil. We're not going to allow what happened in 2020. I mean, he's just said that in the last 24 hours. They're not arsed, and they're not fucking about either. So it'll be interesting to see what occurs further on. We've got that already. So Brazil, shitting myself, to be quite honest with you. I think this runs across the world in terms of how it affects the Amazon. Obviously, we look at, for example, 2017 election. We know it was on the front page of the Independent that Corbyn could have won the election, and if it was something like 2,000 and something votes spread out over six different key marginals, right? We also know, as an aside, that it's evidence that people within the Labour Party, paid staff, purposely moved money to people like Tom Watson and people on the Labour right and took it away from said key marginals. Okay. What do you think, though, would happen or would have happened if Corbyn had somehow scraped that election and became Prime Minister? Look at what is likely to happen to Lula now, right? Lula is likely to be the subject of a huge propaganda campaign, right? Like across, like, for example, right? In the 60s, the CIA and Lyndon B. Johnson, and who was a Democrat president, staged a coup in Brazil because a leftist leader took power. And I could play it here, but it's too long, and the sound quality, I couldn't get it to be something I could broadcast now. I've got an MP3 file of Lyndon B. Johnson, like, which has been leaked and is, where was it? Georgetown Washington University National Archive. That's where it's from. So a solid source. It's a real file where it shows Lyndon B. Johnson saying to the CIA that he would go further and wants them to go further. So there's precedence here. Biden obviously being a Democratic president. I don't believe for 1 minute in this world of oil and everything else and what Lula stated that he wants to do, which is often counter to US foreign policy aims and objectives. I don't believe for 1 minute that the CIA aren't already thinking about it or already doing something about it. As I said at the time of broadcast or recording, Bolsonaro has not conceded. Even if he does concede, it would be interesting to see what moves are made. Don't for 1 minute believe Bannon and he'll fuck the CIA a bit. But, you know, they all work in mysterious ways, don't we? And in a show where we'll have more time to discuss that, we'll talk about it further. Right, some comments in. We'll see who's in. Who's this guy? Daith, yeah, you know, the rabbit holes of the internet have a lot to answer for. Indeed, mate. Hello from Wales, B62 Boom 1. Hello, my friend. Nice to see you. Slaz in the house. That Bielefeld scrotum face twat needs to follow Robert Maxwell into the sea. I assume you're talking about Steve Bannon. I couldn't possibly comment. I wonder who's pulling Bannon's strings. Jacqueline Hemmons. There will be people, but he's one of the string pullers. And he's out there in the open, just doing his thing. He's very good at like riling up the fash base, which they have created over the last 10 years or more. And has a huge following. So it's something that, I mean, I don't know, but what I do know, they're all thick as thieves. And this goes deep into the Republican Party. I mean, he was speaking at CPAC recently, which is one of their fundraisers. So it was Orban and others. We've talked about it on previous shows. Yvonne Gare's saying, people in this country are so delusional. One person commented on the UK mainstream media site as the end of the far-right control in the Western Hemisphere after seeing Brazil result. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I fully agree with you, mate. It's strange times, isn't it? But that's what it is, man. That's how things are rocking right now. And they are frightening times. And I don't for 1 minute think, okay, that Lula or anybody else is going to be given a free ride here at all. It wouldn't surprise us at all if there's a coup. Or at least sort of serious political violence, which is frightening and scary and wrong and not great and horrible. And to be honest with you, I think if Corbyn had got in, it would have happened here too. Because I don't hold much faith or store or stock in democracy one little bit. You might, I don't know. But I hope it goes well. I hope it goes very well. Also, hope Corbyn and others get out of the country if it does kick off, because they're there now. I think they're guests of Lula himself. Zorita Sultana posted a picture with Lula last night. So it'll be very interesting to see which way this one goes. But anyway, that's Brazil. Let me know what you think in the comments of where you think this one will go. Also, if you could watch these things, as I said, on YouTube, that would be utterly tremendous. Now, Dover and what's happened there. Horrible. Awful. But the way it's been reported is very, very, very interesting indeed. But before we go into it, please go to patreon.com/cowdaily. That's patreon.com/cowdaily. If you want to make a regular contribution to our work, that would be very much appreciated. Also later today, a podcast with Laura Pidcock is going out. It'll be available to everybody else on Wednesday. As you can probably see behind, we've got a different studio space now, which we've built over the weekend. Hopefully this is going to be an ability to be here at noon every day and have regular and unrestricted studio space, which means we're going to be out on the regs and get the back catalogue out also as well, and I'm not ill, which is great. Also, if you want to make a one-off contribution to work, go to PayPal. You can do that via the links in the description, and it'd be very much appreciated. If you'd like to help us monetize the YouTube channel, go to youtube.com/cowdaily. That's youtube.com/cowdaily. If you could leave like a nice comment and watch everything there, that would be appreciated. About halfway to being monetized, we'd love to do it before the end of the year. So thank you if you can help out with that. Dover. Speaking of Dover, what the bloody hell's been going on there, you may ask? Bad shit. Horrible, horrible shit. Here's what it is. So, from The Independent, man firebombs migrant processing centre in Dover before killing himself at petrol station. Police have confirmed suspect was found dead soon after attack. Interesting the way they're reporting it. From The Guardian, petrol bombs thrown at immigration centre in Dover. Police confirm suspect died after throwing 2 or 3 petrol bombs at site in Kent. Interesting. Interesting the way The Guardian's reporting it. Evening Standard, man firebombs Border Force Immigration Centre in Dover. The man is believed to have driven to the centre before exiting his vehicle and throwing 3 petrol incendiary devices attached with fireworks. First of all, notwithstanding how fucking dumb he was to attach fireworks to petrol bombs, this was a suicide attack. He's attacked a migrant refugee centre. Then he's went off and killed himself. So why is this being reported in the way that it has? If this was a person of colour, let us know in the comments how you think this would be reported. Crazy. So this is from the Reuters article. A man threw petrol bombs attached with fireworks at a centre for processing migrants in the southern English port of Dover on Sunday and then killed himself, a Reuters photographer said. The attacker, a white man in a checked shirt, drove up to the centre in a white Seat Sports utility vehicle at around 11:20 GMT. He got out and threw petrol bombs, one of which failed to go off, the photographer said. How interesting. So this is from Riz on Twitter. Riz is saying, it's homegrown terrorism that we're seeing in Dover. Just imagine what the reaction would have been had it been a person of colour throwing petrol bombs around before committing suicide. Because the attacker is white and committed suicide, we're meant to have sympathy. No way. Fair one, Riz. Nicola Thorpe on Twitter is saying, please note the right-wing voices claiming that the terrorist petrol bomb attack on the migrant centre in Dover was caused because of frustration at the migrant crisis, rather than because of racist xenophobic hatred stirred up by themselves on Twitter. Here's an example of it, right? This is from 2 days ago, the Times and the Sunday Times. The headline reads, desperate new arrivals drive Dover into taking up arms. There's a picture, right, of a person, a Dover resident, standing there with a sledgehammer and an RNLI boat, linked to the article. Homeowners in Dover are sleeping with sledgehammers by their beds and installing floodlights in their gardens after migrants entered properties. My God. So you mean you guys have been doing that and blaming it on everybody else? You know as well as I do, this would be completely and utterly reported different if a person of colour and was doing this. And there's so many evidence bits of reality to show this. So many when there's terrorist attacks to show how different this is. absolutely and utterly mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. It's a far-right terrorist attack on UK soil. Accept no other description, because that's what it is. So, Yvonne is saying, so not branded a terrorist then. Indeed. Pope Theo Skeptic is saying, you know what would look nice on that shelf? A customized MEC MF Doom mask. Mate, it would. And I know who you are as well, and I want to get that off you as soon as possible. But my apologies, I was ill for a long time. Nice one, though. It would look fucking brilliant up there, and you know it would. Let's talk after the show. Joanna's saying, what's the color of a shirt got to do with anything like the Express? Yes. Jacqueline Hemmings, I hope the right don't see him as some kind of martyr. Perhaps if the news media and the government hadn't been so anti-immigrant, then racist attacks like this would have been prevented. Now, I was talking about Bannon and that earlier, and how these things all interlink, and how mainstream media tend to speak of their talking points quite a lot. This isn't disconnected. These things are part, like this fascist global network. They're not bothered by this. I mean, go and look, right, at how your talk TVs, your GB Newses, and all those ghoul on Halloween outlets will report this shit. And are reporting this shit. Now, we didn't have time to get into today's show, but as ever, intend as a primer. Go and have a look for yourself. It's absolutely and utterly outrageous. Outrageous, as you would expect. Now, this bleeds into like a wider story, which is Suella Braverman and the Refugee Center. So I'm going to play this for you. Let us know what you think.
Around 1,000 migrants arrived in Britain this weekend, a very mild weekend after crossing the Channel. Majority are now in Manston, which is under huge pressure, hugely overcrowded. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, Susanna mentioned as well, it is massively overcrowded here. There's no question about that now. The problem is this facility here in Manston was never set up to be a refugee camp, which is what it's turned out to be at the moment, with more than 4,000 people here. It's a processing centre, and the idea was it was designed to have people come along for a relatively short period of time, perhaps 24 or maybe 48 hours at the most, before moving on to other accommodation. Now, that other accommodation does not appear to be booked at the moment. Now, I spoke to the local MP when he came out of here last night, around about 6 o'clock. He was in for a visit and an inspection. He told me that the staff are completely overwhelmed, and the blame for this, he said, lies at the very top. This was the disturbing scene after suspected petrol bombs were thrown at a Border Force migrant centre. Hundreds of people who crossed the Channel at the weekend would have been processed there. Instead, they were taken here, to the Home Office's Manston facility, described by the Prison Officers Association as a humanitarian crisis on British soil, where men, women and children languish in overcrowded conditions.
And I hope and expect that in very short order we shall now see real action taken to get back to the throughput numbers, 1,500 a day, that we can properly manage and process and treat people properly.
Now, right, but just that guy at the end, Roger Gale MP, I absolutely refused a good Tory, any Tory, but nice words, but look at his voting record. I'm not good Tory and you may go away. However, as you can see, it overlaps with Manston and Suella Braverman and her just general evil. And not only that, it's she's so evil, even other Tories are evil and are up. So the top and bottom of it is here. We're being sold another bag of lies. We're also being told by the media to not treat a far-right terrorist attack as a terrorist attack because the person's white. We're also being told to just not believe the evidence of our eyes and ears. The way that like refugees and asylum seekers are being treated in the United Kingdom is a fucking disgrace. Manston is a humanitarian crisis on UK soil. People are just being left to rack and ruin. Now, I've seen videos online of people, like children, like asking for help, chanting for help through the fence. This is happening on UK soil, man. Like, this can't be allowed to keep going on. We need to get on the front foot as people who give a shit and start pushing back against this, like, narrative which is being proliferated tacitly by mainstream media, who aren't reporting this as what it actually is. Firstly, we need Dover to be reported as it is. And secondly, we need them to be, like, fully having that same energy that they've had for anything that, like, benefits, like, the right in terms of, like, actually fuck politics. The human beings, like, basically getting illness and disease in Manston where they shouldn't be. They're not being, like, booked into the accommodation. They should be getting booked in because of the way the talk TVs and the GB News is overtly target refugees by smearing and slandering them. But also, your Good Morning Britons and whatnot as well have been doing it by, like, getting, like, they get this Andrew Pearce on all the time, and he's just, like, basically, like, the media fash. Like, what the fuck? The whole media, like, landscape and narrative is just very tightly defined. We talk about this a lot, about Chomsky's sort of acceptable, like, but lively range of opinion within these certain parameters. We sit outside of that, like, it's just a fact. And I mean, like, I push back against allegations that were, like, far left and all of this stuff. But I speak for myself, I don't give a flying fuck about politics, and I wouldn't be doing this if we didn't have a platform that needed to be used and I wasn't badgered into it, because I was gonna fuck this off completely when I got ill, because it makes us more ill than doing something else, I guess. But I just hate, and I don't use that word very often, I hate the way that the media construct and shapes a narrative which always is to the detriment of humans. And by humans, I mean everybody. I don't care what the color of their skin is. Absolutely and utterly fucking disgraceful. Britain is an absolute basket case, and it's just a fash hellhole. And it's about time we stood up as a people and stood up alongside refugees and asylum seekers. I know many, many people have done, but also many, many people have stopped doing it. Because do you remember when it was all, like, a trend? Do you remember when, sadly, that the child was pictured on a beach, and it seems to stop a lot of this, like, some of the vile stuff back then in its tracks? Well, it didn't take long for all of that to come back, did it? People have, like, bought into treating refugees and asylum seekers as subhuman, because they've been, like, othered for so long. And you mirror that with the economic situation in the country and, well, globally as well. Look at history. The people get othered when people at the top of society, the bankers and others, are in trouble because they're nicking too much or they're just doing too much dirty shit. So they go to look for people generally who aren't white. Or if they are white, they're lefties or socialists or communists or whatever. Personally, I don't consider myself any of those fucking things. I just consider myself a human being. But it seems to be that a lot of my opinions sit on the left. But don't get it twisted. We'll be along to criticize fucking everybody on this, because the only thing that we're loyal to is the truth. This has been Cow Daily. This is Monday's edition. As I said, 12 noon every day, tell a friend to tell a friend. Now, I get that people are skint and you might not be able to, like, support via Patreon and PayPal. If you could, though, that would be massively helpful. But what you can do is share the show, tell a friend to tell a friend. We're on audio, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We're also, as you can see, on YouTube. We've got a Twitch channel, and we are broadcasting this on Twitter too. So loads of different places for to share. Also, put the notification bell on the YouTube channel, because there'll be clips going out left and right going forward now that we've got regular and predictable studio time. Also, big up everybody who turns up here every day. You make this hell of a lot easier, and your input is really appreciated. So before we leave, we'll take some of your input. Andy Taylor, The hostile environment is alive and well, mate. It is, mate. Also, big up the posties. Get one of the things we can do is support the strikes wherever we find them righteously. So please do. What we got? Mia Mantri is saying, I'm non-Muslim, but because I'm Asian, I was perceived to be Muslim. I feel this assumption was part of why they labelled me a terrorist. I'm sorry to hear that that happened to you, mate. If you want to talk about that any further, by all means, get in touch. Ms. Hemmings is saying, when Sunak reinstated Braverman as Home Secretary, he told us exactly who he is. He did. He also told me exactly who he is when he refused to go to COP27, which he might be doing a U-turn on. Who knows? Right. Pope Theo Skeptic is saying, bear in mind that apparently Braverman does now without the say-so of John Hayes, the MP with the safest Tory seat in the country. That's really interesting. And if you want to send us some more information on that, I'll certainly look into it, pal. We'll have a chat about the fucking mask as well and sort it out. Right. Okay. So Joanne G is saying, if you want to take Wednesdays off, take them. I misread the original post. Just on Wednesdays, I'm not taking Wednesdays off. I'll still be working and there'll still be a show coming out at 12. Like, the plan is to get the Milk the Cow podcast, which is the one-to-one brand, for want of a better description, out today on Monday. Wednesdays, that will go out to everybody. So as it is, early access to everybody, and then out to everybody on the audio and video platforms, Spotify, iTunes, etc. And I'll be working Wednesday still, but I just need an office day to catch up and also just to sort of like not produce a show every day, because I start at 6 a.m. and we're going out at 12. So there's a gang of work goes into it before we go out, and then I work the afternoon too. And I just realized like how it used to be was one of the reasons why I got ill, like the stress, because I didn't take a break. So yeah, that's what it is. So 12 noon every day with your cow daily. 12 noon on a Wednesday is going to be a Milk the Cow podcast. So you're going to get a show a day. And Tuesday nights, it will be me and the Alice Wolf on the Cow Weekly. Some weeks we'll do two shows on a Tuesday. Some weeks it'll just be the Cow Daily, because obviously I've just got to look after me selling it. So hopefully that is clear, and everybody now has the crack. So yeah, those are the things. Thanks for being here, everybody. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to start uploading stuff to Patreon. So if you're on Patreon, please do go straight there. Patreon made it a bit easier to work on that platform, and as one person on multi platforms, it's massively helpful. So patreon.com/cowdaily, patreon.com/cowdaily. If you want any early access to that, sign up to Patreon today and you will get it today. Also, if you want to make a one-off donation to our work, paypal.com, link in description of this podcast. Thanks for being here, everybody. Much appreciated as ever. See you at 12 noon tomorrow. All the love, tears. Bye-bye now.